everything is working here. I hope. Yeah, I think we're all right now. And as I explained, I think somewhere along the line, we said we're going to record this and then we'll transcribe it and send you a copy. And you can do your own edits.
You may or may not have a copy of this, but that's an updated beta.
Good. I don't know. I don't have that.
Yeah.
That would
okay.
Be very helpful. Thank you.
A lot of the stuff we'll cover on career happenings and events and things like that are more or less chronicled in there.
Okay.
And so that'll be more of a source document. But rather than try to take the time to dig through it now, why...
Sure.
Proceed at your own pace okay. And risk, and I'll try to...
Let me just indicate for the record, today is December 8th, 1994, and this is Jim Boning talking with James D. Idle, Jr. in his office at Rutgers.
And it's B-O-H-N-I-N-G.
That's correct. Dr. Idle, I know you were born in...
How about just Jim?
Jim? Okay. Yeah. I know you were born in Harrisonville, Missouri on August 7th, 1928. Could you tell me something about your father, mother, and your family background?
My father was a third-generation newspaper editor and publisher. We published a country weekly called the Cass County Democrat, which was not as political as the name sounds. It was just the name of the paper as it came into being. My mother was a... teacher of languages in Missouri schools, and was a graduate of University of Missouri and University of Chicago, and spoke five languages and played the piano. I had one sister, and still have, who is now married and lives in Arlington, Virginia. We had a very happy childhood. Harrisonville was a city of 2,300 people, and in the early 30s, why we endured the dust storms and depression, and you'll probably want to know about this, so I'll save us a little time and trouble. The family who lived next door to me had a son who was 8 years older than I, who was an Eagle Scout, and was in the process of getting his chemistry merit badge. Mm-hmm. And at the age of six, why... I was exposed to his chemistry set and became fascinated with it and helped him do his Boy Scout experiments.
Okay, I didn't realize Boy Scouts had a chemistry merit badge.
Yes, indeed. Yes.
You went to schools, your local schooling was all in Harrisonville?
All in Harrisonville. We had the standard eight grades of elementary school and four years of high school, which I managed to get through in 3.5 years.
Extracurricular activities, athletics?
Not too much in athletics. Even as a boy, I enjoyed golf and tennis. I was never rough enough, I guess, for football, and I was too slow for basketball. As I said, I did enjoy golf at an early age and did a lot of fishing and camping with my grandfather and father. Became something of an outdoorsman.
You said you started doing chemistry experiments at the age of six.
Well, helping is a better way to put it, yes.
What was it about those experiments that fascinated you?
Well, simply that one seemed to have some power to observe things that you could control, and you could hopefully expect what was going to happen, and when it didn't, why, it gave you something to puzzle and wonder about.
Did you ever acquire a set of your own?
Oh, yes. I started on that very quickly after having early lessons from Ed Clatworthy, and I guess I began to assemble my own chemistry set by the time I was in the second grade, and it gradually grew until it occupied about a third of the basement of my house.
I'm assuming your mother and father supported you in this, or were they tolerant at least?
With some apprehension, I would say.
Did you manage to smell up the house on occasion?
On a few occasions, and once I blew out a basement window drying some nitrogen iodide.
Okay. But you were still encouraged to do this.
Yes, I was, yes. My father, I think, and the rest of his side of the family were a bit disappointed that I didn't take up the journalistic profession, which my sister obligingly did. And she was a journalism graduate from Missouri University. But I seemed always to enjoy chemistry and science, but chemistry was always the favorite. I considered medicine for a while, but chemistry was really more fascinating, and my family was of average means during the Depression, but the price of a medical education was not in our pocket at that time.
What would you like for your tea? Nothing?
Nothing, just the way it is.
All right.
Thank you.
That probably played a role. Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming that because of the newspaper business, your family survived the Depression with...
Yes, the newspaper business was a good business to be in, and it brought with it the opportunity to get acquainted with some fairly prominent people. My father was not a close friend, but a good friend of Harry Truman, and I believe I recall him being at dinner at our house a couple of times when he was a judge of the Jackson County Court. Kansas City.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I'm assuming that also from your mother's standpoint, being as well educated as she was and prolific in languages, that she must have had some influence on you as well.
Very much so. I suppose one must always lean a little bit towards one parent or the other, and possibly because she was a little bit more sympathetic to the smells and explosions than father was. That had its effect. And World War II, Dad wasn't... he was just a little bit too old to be drafted or serve, but he was determined to serve, and so he went to the Red Cross and served 4 years as... what was his title? Field director in the Red Cross for the China-Burma-India Theater, and he was gone 4 years, and so I had it was a single-parent home all of that time, so I guess that unavoidably got me a little closer to my mother than my father.
What was your science experience like in high school?
Well, it was, I think, above average. I think Harrisonville High School was not... particularly noted, as some others are, for science instruction. It was the high school had 250 students in it, and the superintendent taught the chemistry and physics courses ably. I was more influenced during those years by a close family friend who was the superintendent of the city light and water plant by the name of Cleo Brown. And he and my father were business acquaintances because father was mayor of the city in the years just prior to World War II. And Cleo was not a chemist himself. I believe he was not a college graduate, but was of necessity conversant in water chemistry testing and that sort of thing. So he was very good at loaning me an old chemistry book, which really was my first introduction to any organized form of chemistry education, and that was handed to me when I was in the sixth grade. And then he helped with a steady supply of laboratory equipment and chemicals, which I never had enough money for.
You don't remember what the book was, do you?
I wish I did. I preserved it for many years in my laboratory, one of the laboratory drawers in the basement, and I arrived home from a vacation one time many years later when I was first employed, to find out that mother had finally decided that the collection of materials in the basement, which hadn't been touched for 15 years, was becoming a hazard, and it was all gone. Donated, I must say, to the local high school, but after they had taken their pick, I don't know where the rest of it went, and that book was in one of those drawers.
Okay.
Um,
I guess I'm not familiar with William Jewell College. I know it's a Baptist college. I don't know where Liberty, Missouri is in comparison to Harrisonville.
Well, Harrisonville is 40 miles south of Kansas City, near the Kansas line. And Liberty is 15 miles northeast, more north than east of Kansas City. It's halfway between Kansas City and Excelsior Springs, which might ring more of a bell. Okay. And it's a very old city, supposedly one of the wagon trains that went on the Oregon Trail, I think it was, or supposed to have left from the courthouse steps there at Liberty. William Jewell was founded in 1949 by a wealthy physician from Columbia, Missouri, who was a Baptist and wanted to have a Baptist college. I had no connection with the Baptist church except the fact my grandmother was a Baptist, but it had, for a small college in western Missouri, quite a good reputation in science and mathematics especially. And so as a matter of elimination, I suppose, combining the best available of what could be afforded, why I wound up going to William Jewell. Glad I did. I think there is very, very much to be said with the idea of the small liberal arts college, at least in those days.
Could we shut that door? There's noise, I'm afraid.
Yeah,
might
that machine is in need of oil.
Thank you.
Is that enough?
That's fine.
And it's a beautiful campus. I would do it again, whatever choices were given me. I could have gone to UM or UKansas or something else, but I chose William Jewell.
What was the chemistry department like?
Chemistry department was sometimes two-and-a-half-man department, staffed by two professors who became really my tutors and in later years fast friends. The person in charge of the freshman chemistry sections was a gentleman of the name of Professor Henry with an I, Godfrio, G-O-D-F-R-I-A-U-X, who in fact had, it turns out, known my mother since she was a native of Marshall, Missouri, and he had taught in Marshall High School. And he also coached part-time the football squad. The real figurehead there, who probably did more to get my career directed and launched than anyone else, was Dr. and Professor Frank Edson, PhD from the University of Colorado, who taught the upper undergraduate courses. And I just can't really say enough about Dr. Edson. He was a scholar, and a scientist.
Mm-hmm. What were their physical facilities like?
Well, they were quite good for the size of the school and the time. We had pretty modern equipment in all the analytical and organic and physical chemistry courses. We had first-class spectrometers to work with as physical chemistry students, and we had the latest organic laboratory equipment. The freshman laboratories were a bit spartan, as many of them are, but the equipment was pretty good.
Were there many chem majors?
During the years I was going through, I believe we graduated probably 8 to 10 chem majors per year out of a graduating class of probably I'm sorry, I don't have that figure. It's probably the graduating classes were 100 a year.
Well, that's a good percentage, then.
Yes, it is.
Very good.
Maybe 150. Yeah. Physics was also strong at William Jewell, and so was math. And biology wasn't far behind.
What part of chemistry interested you most as you took the different types of courses?
Well, I don't think I really made a choice by the time I had come out of school. I had looked forward to physical chemistry because I was always fascinated with the way physical chemistry enabled one to mathematically correlate happenings with observations. and offered one at least presumably the opportunity to calculate what might happen instead of watch it happen. But I liked organic very much from the standpoint of synthetic synthetic chemistry.
Did you have any chance to do any research of any kind?
In the graduate or in the senior year, during the time I was there, Dr. Edson decided to offer a senior seminar type course in Introduction to Chemical Literature and Research, and I did a a short a little senior research project which he of course had devised, and it was to assess the corrosivity of different types of acidic materials on the metal cadmium. I'm not just quite sure why he chose cadmium, but at any rate, I was presented with a series of cadmium coupons and told to go ahead and do the research on it and set up a series of experiments to determine, largely by weight loss techniques, what this corrosive effect would be. And so the project got launched, and most of it got done by the time I had to graduate at the senior commencement. It was a second semester course, and it was very fascinating. It was kind of irritating to find that some of the coupons didn't behave as they were supposed to, since the corrosive products were not soluble in the solvent, so the coupon gained weight instead of losing it, so we had to make some baseline adjustments. But he was fairly pleased, I think, with a little bit of work. It was my first introduction to chemical abstracts.
Ah, okay. I was going to ask if you had had a course that they were common at the time, either in history of chemistry or chemical literature, or you didn't have a specific course in chemical literature?
Well, I had that course at Purdue. I had Mellon's course.
Oh, yes.
Chemical literature, okay. Which, of course, is, I think, without peer.
Yes.
But even at William Jewell, Dr. Edson got us into that. And in his lectures in organic and physical chemistry, was very careful to point out the contribution of historical figures in chemistry. We were lucky to have him do that.
What was your thought as you were going through William Jewell about what you were going to do with your career after you left?
Well, I really never thought of anything other than graduate school. when I got my degree from William Jewell in 3.5 years, I was urged to take a couple of job offers just to make sure that I wasn't depriving myself of something that I would have been interested in. So I interviewed an insurance company, which made me a rather astonishing offer, which I almost took. The money sounded pretty good. But I applied to 4 graduate schools and was accepted by all. These were Cornell, Purdue, Illinois, and Iowa State, and chose Purdue largely upon the recommendation of Dr. Edson, because I had begun to become interested in industrial chemistry and chemical engineering, and he thought that would be a fine solution to that ambition.
Hmm. What developed your interest in industrial chemistry?
I don't really know. I suppose the study of the processes for production of materials as we were presented with them in inorganic and freshman and later in organic chemistry.
So you went to Purdue in 49. What was Purdue like when you got there?
Well, it was 11,000 students, and the chemistry building was a third of the size that it was when I left, and a sixth of the size that it is now since they built the second chemistry building. The faculty, as I recall, was about 20 or 25, and at the time I arrived, Earl McBee, who was a William Jewell graduate, had just become chairman of chemistry at Purdue, So I guess it was foreordained that I would work for him, but I had developed an interest in halogen chemistry even before leaving William Jewell, so that made the choice pretty easy.
What kind of research did you do? Well, let me back up a moment. You mentioned Mellon's course. I'd like to ask you a little bit more about that course and about Mellon and what your reaction was to.
Well, Dr. Mellon was an unusually talented and absolutely fabulous teacher. It was a pleasure just to sit in the class and listen to him lecture about the value of chemical literature and how it should be approached and handled. It was, of course, before the days of computers, and it was all handwork, but being led through Beilstein and chemical abstracts and the other reference works in inorganic chemistry, Gmelin and others, and how they organized the literature was totally fascinating.
You worked with, I think I have a copy of your paper here, with McBee. At least I thought I had noted it. It was a paper from your PhD thesis.
Yeah.
On provided spectra of chlorine containing cyclopentenes.
Ah, you've done your homework. actually, my master's thesis, which for some reason we didn't publish, I think maybe he was waiting for some others to come along that he could combine it with, was on substitution reactions of 1,2-bis-trifluoromethylbenzene, hexafluoroxylene, if you will. And that was interesting. We went through some exercises to make some novel nitro and amino and diazonium compounds and things like that. It was sponsored by Westinghouse, so I was a Westinghouse fellow at the master's level, which was slightly unusual.
Yeah, so you didn't have to do any teaching?
Yes, I taught extensively.
Oh, you did?
There was, due to some reverses in the family business, why the financial situation in the family had gotten pretty rugged at that time, and my sister had also entered college. So I did quite a bit of extra teaching, and the result was that I stretched my PhD education out a little bit longer than it otherwise might have been.
I see.
And also complicated by the fact that I decided that I was going to take a chemical engineering minor for the PhD, and I started that a year later than I should have, so that kind of spread things out. But I have no regrets for the slightly longer period of time I stayed at Purdue. It was a fascinating place, and I enjoyed it.
Why did you, well, you had this interest in industrial chemistry, is that why you selected chemical engineering?
I think so. And Dr. McBee was very strong in his support of the idea. He was a very industrially oriented person himself, and the combination worked out to be exactly what I expected. Also, the person under whom I took most of my chemical engineering was Nora Shreve.
Oh, yes.
Who served on my doctoral committee.
Okay.
And it was interesting to sit in his classes.
How many chemical engineering courses did you take?
12 hours, 12 okay. credits, which were at the undergraduate level, chemical process industries, his famous textbook course, and then one semester, as I recall, of unit operations, and then I took the graduate course in two semesters in unit processes in organic technology, which was basically a combination organic chemical engineering graduate course combined with a full-scale organic synthesis laboratory where we synthesized chemicals in 10-gallon reactors and used plate and frame filters and things like that. So it was really an education.
So you were able to combine this interest in organic chemistry, but with a leaning towards the industrial aspect.
Yes.
Although your PhD thesis was almost strictly organic chemistry.
Entirely, and largely synthetic and proof of structures.
I'm curious how Shreve served on your committee then.
Well, at Purdue, one had a committee composed of his major professor and professor representing each of the two minor fields. And my minor fields were chemical engineering, and the other was a split minor between inorganic and analytical. So I tried to cover as much ground as I could.
I was going to say, you covered pretty much all the bases in that respect.
It took a year longer to do it, but it was worth the while.
What were your thoughts as you were finishing up your graduate work as to what you would do?
Well, I was sure I was going to take a job in industry at that point, and I had rather thought that I would like to return to native Missouri, or at least the Midwest, and I had made a few trips to the East by then, largely on interview trips, and enjoyed it, but my heart was, and perhaps still is, largely west of the Mississippi. But fate determined otherwise, and when I was in the interviewing process, one day Dr. McBee brought a gentleman by the name of Dr. Everett Hughes, Mike Hughes, through my laboratory, and he turned out to be the research director of Standard Oil of Ohio, and he said, "Jim, this is Dr. Hughes, tell him some things about your work." So I gave him my 15-minute carefully rehearsed speech for guided tours and so on. McBee was always bringing his people through labs to introduce him to his students. He was very good about that. And so I was somewhat surprised a week later to receive an application form from Dr. Hughes. So I filled it out and sent it in, and an interview trip resulted, and an offer resulted, and I took it.
What other places had you interviewed?
Well, I interviewed at DuPont and at a firm in Chicago, one of the halogen companies, Velsico, I guess it was, Triple M, one or two others, I don't remember now.
What was it about Sohio that made you lean in that direction?
Well, they were not a small company, but they were not one of the giants like DuPont, in which I was a little bit afraid of getting lost. And I was very intrigued by the interview there, particularly by a gentleman by the name of Dr. Frank Veach, who was a Stanford organic chemist. It's not awfully well known. Got a frog in my throat today. But Standard of Ohio was one of the earliest companies to do pioneering partial oxidation work on hydrocarbons. Mm. It's often thought that Shell Chemical and Carbide perhaps pioneered a little bit more in that area, but if you examine the dates, I think one would find that Sohio was among the earliest. And Veach was